just the one liner first, Chairman. The profit share works at about 57% at some level. So if the shareholders have made $40 billion, does that mean the staff have made $50 billion?
No, because the staff don't participate in the value creation through share appreciation to anywhere near the same extent.
All right. Okay. Now, look, this is the resolution of the meeting. This is the main event today, everyone, because what's happened is Institutional Shareholder Services, which is the most powerful proxy advisory firm in the world, which has humbled companies from Rio Tinto to Zinifex and Oxiana with recommendations to their institutional clients to vote down resolutions, most notably remuneration reports, have this year just decided to take on the great Macquarie machine. And what has happened is they put out their report saying vote down the remuneration report, and Macquarie have launched probably the most vigorous campaign against such a report that's been seen in the Australian market. So there's been a hell of a debate behind the scenes with Macquarie making representations to their major shareholders, to ISS, to others, saying in defence of the Macquarie model. And you have to say that the Macquarie model has been spectacularly successful. And I, for one, will be voting my one share in favour of the remuneration report on the basis that you shouldn't change a winning formula. However, there are a couple of rules of engagement which I think we need to establish at first, Chairman. Some of my questions are going to relate to the proxies, and I need to see the proxies to be able to ask the questions. So last year you withheld the proxies until the end of the debate, so we didn't see them until after lunch. And I'd ask you initially this year if you could change that policy, because the big event that will come out of today is how many shares were, after this amazing campaign, voted against the remuneration report. You know the figure, we don't. So could you enlighten us just on that one figure? How many shares, how many proxies were voted against the remuneration report this year?
Well, as I said last year, when we look around the world and look at best practice in this area, without any doubt, corporate governance recommendations are that you should not disclose proxies until which would potentially affect the vote. So we are going to disclose, as last year, we're going to disclose the proxies before the end of the meeting, but we're not going to disclose them before people are asked to vote.
Could I ask you to test the mood of the meeting on that? I think that it's absolutely immaterial for this discussion that we know this figure now. And the reason I say that is that I know that Macquarie has been making representations to institutions saying, if you're going to vote against us, please just abstain. Please don't actually take on the model, just abstain. And the other important point that I want to tease out today is the commercial relationships that Macquarie has with its major shareholders. And for me, that's the governance issue which is at the heart of this debate, is that Macquarie is the most powerful brand in the Australian financial system. Everyone needs to be on the train with Macquarie for floats and capital raisings and all this sort of stuff. So when Macquarie devotes their resources to persuading their institutional shareholders to vote a certain way, they have a lot of power behind that. And I mean, the example I'd give you is, for instance, AXA, which owns 13 million shares, is the second biggest shareholder in Macquarie. Now, when the French tried to mop up AXA, it was Macquarie that did the defence. So Macquarie has a commercial relationship as AXA's advisor, and they got paid very well to defend against the French. Fast forward 3 years, and AXA's being asked by Macquarie, please don't vote against our remuneration report, because this is the model that's made the machine, and if you really have to vote against it, please abstain. So, and then you can run similar arguments with the other major shareholders. So that's why, Chairman, I think for the purposes of an informed debate, it is reasonable that we be told the proxies at the outset. It's a non-binding resolution anyway. The actual figures don't matter a fig for the law, but the figures do matter for the purposes of this debate. Hence, my request that you test the meeting as to whether maybe it's after 15 minutes, maybe it's not right now, but before we finish discussing the remuneration report, I'd like to see the proxies so we can have some further discussion about what it all means, because if there is a big protest vote, it is a big challenge to the Macquarie model, which could have implications. So I think it's not an unreasonable request, and I'd ask you to test that with the meeting.
Mr. Mayne, as I think you know, motions can't be put on during the meeting from the floor. If you genuinely want to test this, I'd suggest you formally move a motion for next year. We've seriously considered the issue, and we believe that whilst there are arguments on both cases, best practice internationally and in Australia is that you don't bias the vote by disclosing the proxies, but you do disclose the proxies before the meeting. So at the end of the meeting, you'll know what the proxies are, but it'll be after you vote, not before you vote.
Chairman, I appreciate your right as chair to make determinations. The one request I'd have is the right to speak after the proxies are disclosed. Is that something you can afford me?
Let me take that on notice. I'd like to think about it.
I mean, I don't want to labour the point, but you talk about proxies the good governance argument is that we'll be intimidated. If we get the proxies, it'll squash the debate. Now, I can give you countless examples of the way boards opportunistically run the arguments. When Rupert Murdoch had 98% in favour of his move to America, he flashed up the proxies within 2 minutes of the meeting starting. He just said, there you go, you can all get stuffed. I've flogged you all. So that's the world's most powerful man. Okay, so you haven't done that. And the longer you hold out, the more I think you've actually suffered quite a protest and you're sitting on it. I mean, that's the only conclusion that I can draw. And in talking about not wanting to intimidate, this is where the question of how big the protest is gets important, because you say you don't want us to be intimidated. Now, my concern is the way that you've conducted a little bit of a campaign with your major shareholders. And I'll cite you the example of, for instance, Barclays. Barclays own 13 million Macquarie Bank shares. They're our second biggest shareholder. Now, when Macquarie Communications Group had a share placement 6 or 8 weeks ago, they raised $700 million. You Macquarie bankers allocated to Barclays $60 million worth of shares. So they lifted their stake in MCG from 7% to 9%. Like everyone else in this market, they rely on the good grace of Macquarie that when you're doing a capital raising, that you'll put them at the front of the queue, you'll give them a big allocation. Now, if Barclays come out today and vote their 13 million shares against you and leave you with some egg on your face and some bad publicity, the temptation next time there's a capital raising at MCG or anywhere else is, well, sod Barclays, they voted against our REM report. And that's the behaviour, I'm not going to use the intimidation word, but that's the behaviour that worries me, because from what I understand, you have run a very vigorous campaign. Now, normally, when ISS says vote against the remuneration report, it runs at 30 to 40%. And if you come out today with 90%, and last year you got 95% in favour when ISS said vote in favour. So if you come out with 85%, others are going to say, what did you say to your major shareholders? Because there is, a potential conflict. You don't have to say anything on the phone. It will just be, we don't want to upset Macquarie. They play hard, they might punish us. So can you tell us, Chairman, about the way you've conducted yourselves as a bank with your major shareholders in attempting to persuade them to vote in favour of the remuneration report? What has been the level of the campaign that you have run to try and get the approval vote up as high as possible?
Mr. Mayne, can I make 3 points in relation to that comment? First of all, investor relations is a normal function that is carried in day in, day out, and that was part of what was going on. Secondly, ISS refused to give us a copy of their report and refused to circulate our report to shareholders, so we had no alternative but to contact shareholders directly. And thirdly, I can give you a complete assurance that there is no link to business and this vote. We didn't seek to make the link, and there was no link. So there is no... If we don't necessarily like it if they vote against the REM report, but we certainly don't. That does not bias our behaviour. And in fact, the people who are making those decisions, because of the way that Macquarie tends to decentralise decision-making, are different people to the ones who are talking to them. And if they choose to take something like that into account, that's their business. It's not something we have in any way sought to influence.